Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is an hour or three with Dr. Robert Brennan, and my very special guest and the man of the hour is Ed Cooper. Ed's a regular guest on our station, particularly Rick Munn's show Locked and Loaded. He has a very large following on Twitter, if you look at the @RiseMelbourne, that's with a capital R, an uppercase R, and an uppercase M, of course, for Melbourne. And he has 38,000 followers, plus one I've just joined. And he's been following the COVID-19 debacle, the response to it, and the activism that's been, well, making of Melbourne, Battleground Melbourne, just thinking about the title of that documentary this past couple of years. And so, without further ado, Ed, how are you doing?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Doing okay. So tell us about Rise Melbourne.
Look, I'll be honest with you. Look, so before this sort of happened in 2020, I wasn't much of a social media man. I like to keep to myself, you know. But, I've always followed the agendas of the governments and stuff. But, when I first saw that first clip come out of Wuhan, I was living in Cairns at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that clip where people were dropping in the streets, and I knew that was the moment, you know what I mean? I've been waiting for this, you know, for the last sort of 10 years. I sort of started digging, and I knew something was coming. But when I saw those clips, I thought, we're in trouble, mate. So I came back to Melbourne in January, just as this was unfolding. Yeah, and then the rest is history, mate. I sort of made a post, and the funny thing, it's all come to fruition exactly as I said, you know. My first post, so as I said again, I wasn't into social media, but I thought I'd want to get some information out there. And my first post was a tank in the Bourke Street Mall. Mm-hmm. And looking back now, it wasn't far off what's happened, you know what I mean? We've had cops shooting rubber bullets at protesters, and you know, it's sad times, mate. And, I sort of come in, and my role has been, I'm trying to get people to lose the fear and just have a bit of faith in yourself and what we can do as a people to sort of rise up against this. Obviously you've been following this, and I just did a little bit of research. I wasn't familiar with yourself, and you're obviously part of the COVID medical network.
Mm-hmm, I am.
And, I've been trying to reach out to you guys for a while, and it never eventuated. This is a great opportunity for me to have a chat with you as well. But, you know, as scary as I keep trying to drum this into people, as scary as things may seem and the media portrays, this can easily be won by non-compliance. So that's the route that I'm going down, just getting people to lose the fear and stop complying. And then, you know what? Once people stop complying, no one can stop you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But it's a heavy price that people might be paying if they do not comply, as you say, because, well, everything from just loss of friends to loss of employment to worse in the case of some of the activists around and about.
Yeah, look, that is true. But again, once again, I'll keep drumming this home. You got to lose that fear, mm-hmm. because that's the key tool they use against us, you know. So, you know, all these clips, like, you know, when we see Bill Gates and he says something crazy, we see that, I'm not sure of his name off the bat, you know, the Israeli guy, he's part of the WEF, and Yuri, his name is, you know him?
Oh, yeah, Harari.
Exactly. Harari, so yeah. When you see all these clips that have been posted online, they're not done by accident. Mm-hmm. It's all strategic. It's to keep putting fear into people. Mm-hmm. So you need to take the information in and just lose the fear still. It's most of it's fear. I heard you talk about Battleground Melbourne, and I don't know if you're probably not going to like what I'm going to say, but some of those arrests that I saw that were all over social media, some of them you really have to look with a sharp, keen eye and see that some of them, not all of them, so let me clarify that, some of those arrests and confrontations were 100% staged. Mm-hmm. And that, again, is also to put in the fear of people so you do comply. So, you know, of course, some of the events were real. There's no doubts about that. But again, most of it's fear, mate. And I'll give you an example, you know. So during the lockdowns, they said you can't go outside. I went outside. There was no cops. There was no police there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they've run a beautiful campaign. You've got to give it to them. It's all based around fear, which subsequently breeds compliance. So our role, you know, with people like me and Rick Munn, is to educate people and really lose that fear and find tools, you know, to take things to the next level and cause some serious issues for the government, all peaceful. And I always add that in. Mm. I am not advocating violence. I never have. It's always about peaceful disruption. And, you know, that's the next stage I think we have to get to. So
that's an interesting perspective. And also it's an interesting sort of can of worms that you've opened, that some of the arrests were staged with the purposes of instilling fear in the population. And 100%. But I imagine that they'd also have to capitalize on the population being propagandized to, how shall I say, give consent to those arrests, to that violence, because, of course, who were they arresting? They were arresting a rabble of anti-vaxxers, of conspiracy theorists,
of course,
you know, of the deplorables, you know, to borrow the term from US politics.
Yep.
So, you know, they've got to accomplish both of those things at the same time. But yeah, the public has those indelible images, say, of that, and we're not suggesting these are staged, but these are the collection of images that come to my mind. There's the young pregnant woman who was allegedly inciting protests, illegal protests, in her home, arrested. There was the other woman taken to the ground in the streets.
Yes.
There was the guy, I don't know, it looked like a metro station or something, but he was taken hard to the ground.
That was shocking. That was one of the ones that was definitely, like, without a shadow of a doubt, legit. They body slammed him at the Flinders Street station. I remember that clearly.
Yeah, that was not getting out of that one without a bad injury. Yeah.
Exactly. Look, I'm not suggesting that all the arrests were staged. I'm suggesting that some were strategically done.
Mm.
Exactly. Look, like at the moment, all the propaganda coming out of China, like we saw with Wuhan. So we know, I mean, you're a doctor, you know, no one has dropped from COVID in the streets of Australia. And that to me says those Wuhan clips were staged. Okay?
Yeah, these are people who are able to ambulate about no problem and then they just face plant themselves under the pavement.
Yeah. Now, and it's great that you're a doctor, so I can get your perspective on this as well. So, and I've been to the doctors and I've said to the doctors, how come no one's dropped in the streets? And they just can't answer. You know, so in saying the way we saw that propaganda come out of China, and it's happening again now, by the way, in China. So now I don't know if you've seen those clips going around where people are getting ripped up in the street and then chucked into vans. And have you seen these clips
in huge China numbers? Propaganda? In huge numbers, yes. That's huge numbers. But as you say, like any footage that comes out of China has to go through the Communist Party first.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's my point. And so if they're doing it in China,
mm-hmm.
you need to be open to the possibility that they're doing it in Australia. Mm-hmm. And we know how these guys work. They've got a plan. And look, you know, the key is educating people, again, to see what's real. I'm not saying they're all fake, but just see what's real and make your judgment from there. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to teach people, you know. So, it's a complex world at the moment, mate. It's mm-hmm. You don't know what's real anymore, and you know, it's been a crazy 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and like you say, I mean the broad range of tactics of propaganda and
psychological,
and psyops and all of this sort of thing. It's something that also our leaders use both now and down history. I mean,
100%.
Regardless of your position on the trade unions movement, Thatcher did actions against the unions in order to make a point to her people. So did Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen up here in Queensland many, many moons ago. So, yeah, I mean, and if you look at the actions of the UK, a lot of them were driven by the behavioural sciences unit, the so-called nudge unit, which is a PsyOps team. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And this whole COVID propaganda machine as well has been run on putting the fear, and it's all coming out now that it was all baloney, but You know, that the key is we need to educate people, you know. So, and sometimes it's hard because, you know, I'm quite outspoken. I've pulled back. I mean, I could go a lot harder, but for the sake of the movement, I've tried to not expose some people that I believe are playing both sides, you know. Mm-hmm. So, because I don't want to ruin it for other people and make people lose heart. That's an important thing that I've kept. But, you know, it's going to come a time because things are going to get really serious. I mean, you know about this pandemic treaty that's trying to push through now.
The World Health Organization, yeah.
Yeah, it's next level. So the important thing now is we've really got to band together. And, mate, we're in some tough times, man. I reckon after the election we're going to see – I don't know. I mean, obviously they can't do – I don't believe they can do any more lockdowns right now because there's a precedent set. We've already been open at 100,000 cases a day Australia-wide. So you'd need at least 300,000 now to lock down. So that's a good thing. But what's next? You know, so it's going to be the pandemic treaty. We're going to see petrol prices keep soaring. The flow-on effect will be cost of living, so food. Restaurants are going to struggle because they're going to have to pay increased prices and push it to the customers, and their business is already down because of the lockdowns and people are still scared. Mate, we're just at the start. We're stage one, you know, so.
Yeah, that's right. I can see the inflation as having happened the past 18 months, say products that were $5 an hour, say $7.50. Looking through some furniture stores, seeing some items that were 18 months ago, let's say $1,500, and now $2,000.
Exactly.
Or they're on sale for $1,600. Say, you know, it's like they inflate them up before they take them down.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, so, geez, I'll tell you this. I mean, let's just see after the election, but we're in for some tough times. But in saying that, if we can get enough people to resist and show just a little bit of backbone and lose that fear, because that's the key. If we can get people to lose that fear, we've got a chance. I keep saying that. So as bad as things look, a lot of it's fear, you know, to keep you in line. And, you know, once people realize that, you become free.
It is liberating.
It is liberating.
I know where you're coming from because, of course, once you lose the friends that you're going to lose, you gain the friends that you might never have otherwise known.
Exactly.
And it comes from a place of authenticity and from, you know, freeing yourself from self-censorship and the risk that one day the conscience might exact a terrible revenge on you because you look in the mirror and you'll think, damn, I had my chance then, you know, and I blew it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And you know, that helps. So even though sometimes this gets depressing in, you know, putting out the information and researching, it's liberating because I know at night I can guarantee 100%. So regardless of what I put out online, whatever you see on my account, I do 10 times more in the street. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I keep telling people that it doesn't have to be at a rally. You just got to do it in everyday interaction and hopefully, you know, just keep banging out that message. And you can see if you do it genuinely, people realize that, you know, you're putting yourself on the line to give them the truth and at risk of making yourself look stupid. You know what I mean? So that's the key. We've got to just keep grinding until we get enough people that cause some serious issues to the government. And as I said, I'm going to always stress, I always stress peaceful. I'm not into violence or anything that it's counterproductive.
Well, they are though. I mean, I
know they
are. We're singing from the same hymn sheet of peaceful resistance, peaceful non-compliance. But the other side, violence is not beyond them, and they've done it everywhere across the country. Yeah,
they have. They've done it. I had an episode at one of the rallies. I went down, and I don't know, maybe because I used to put my face. I've taken that off now online. But I believe I went to one of the rallies and I reckon one of the guys must have seen my face. I was sort of, this was in the big lockdown in Melbourne. You remember when you couldn't go out and protest and they were really strict on it? So what we were doing, we were meeting up around the city, and when we had enough numbers, everyone would just go into a group. And one of the guys, one of the police officers, I walked in, I was sort of around the edge, But he saw me around and it looked like he knew my face, and he went beeline right for me, and he pushed me right in the middle of the chest like he wanted me to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the easy thing for me would have been to throw a bit of a punch at him, but I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're definitely looking to push violence, and the main thing, I believe, they want you to react so you then you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to do. They provoke violence.
Mm. Yes, so, I've seen it happen, yes. And 100%. And we're going to get back to this wonderful conversation in just a couple of minutes. This is TNT Radio.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I've got to tell you that, you know, that terrible, terrible story, and I mean, it was taken from Crikey, I mean, which is a piece of garbage anyway. But could you just illuminate us on the, because you've had a look at the story. Tell us about, you know, the essence of the story and how wrong they are.
Well, for a start, Aussie Helping Hands was set up by three individuals who he named in the story, one being Dave O'Neeks and Haley and Dottie.
Who?
They said that, I forget Dottie's last name, that's terrible, but it's in the article. She's involved in a couple of other things. They contacted me when they knew that I was working in Corakai. And when we started talking about what the plight there, our social media followers all flocked to Corakai to support, which they do, the Hoodies Helpers people.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification. 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are opportunity zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be fatal. Don't use anything indoors that burns fuel, such as gasoline-powered generators, camp stoves and lanterns, or charcoal grills. Opening doors and windows or using fans isn't enough. Have your vents and chimneys checked to make sure water heater and gas furnace exhausts aren't blocked. If you feel sick, dizzy, or weak while using a generator, get to fresh air right away. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is Robert Brennan, and my very special guest and TNT regular is Ed Cooper. He's a Melbourne-based, let's say, warrior on the information landscape, warscape, you could say, with a Twitter following. Check it out on Rise Melbourne. And, back with you, Ed. So, you know, in a sense, I've often thought that this is the best of all possible worlds given the moment because, you know, we're facing a rising tyranny, but the price that we pay at present is, well, you know, at worst we might get arrested, sure. We might lose our jobs, we might be ostracized, but it's different to the tyrannies of the 20th century where we might be hung, sent off to a gulag or put up against a wall and shot. So given that the price is relatively lower, the moral compulsion put upon us is higher. We have to get out there and say something if we have something to say. And you and I today are going to try and encourage the people towards the last chance they have to protest before the election, which is this Saturday, the 14th.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, this Saturday, hopefully, I'll be pumping out some ads on on my Twitter and Instagram today. But hopefully, this Saturday, we get to see a big crowd. Because I think what's happened over the last couple of months, people get a little bit tired, restrictions ease, and people forget. But as I said, you know, with the upcoming WHO treaty and all that kind of stuff, this is really now the time to get people together, really unite as one, you know. And it doesn't matter whether you're vaxxed or you're unvaxxed. It's about the government now going too far, and that's where I believe we're at. I believe these rallies have been brilliant. They've been what they've given people a chance to, you know, vent their frustrations and get with like-minded people. I believe our side is definitely growing. I don't know if you've experienced that or that's your opinion, but we're definitely getting more numbers. I'm starting to notice a lot more people questioning the narrative, which is brilliant. Sadly, the more deaths that we see, we're going to end up with a bigger following, but it's sad that it had to come to that. But yeah, hopefully this Saturday is going to be massive. I think there's some people lined up in Queensland, some Pauline Hanson, Roberts and co. So that'll be huge. Melbourne, I don't know who they've got lined up to speak, but I'll be there Saturday and I believe I'll be doing a live crossover. But yeah, this is the time. Now's the most important time, I believe, because we're getting near a tipping point. They can't keep pushing. I mean, look, these mandates, I don't know how they're still on in Victoria, to be honest. But people are now really fed up as it's putting a lot of strain on the businesses. Are you from Victoria, by the way, Mike? Mike, isn't it?
No, this is Robert covering Mike.
Robert.
Yeah. So, no, I'm a Queenslander, Gold Coast, born and bred, although I've lived away now and then. But,
Your mandates are gone, aren't they? Most of them.
Yeah, the occupational ones are in. So we've got some doctor friends of myself who are taking on our chief health officer.
Part of that group?
Yeah. I'm not part of that specific legal action as one of the, what could you call it, one of the aggrieved parties. But yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that yesterday. That's brilliant. So finally, some people are taking it on. Look, I still can't believe, I don't understand how these mandates are justified. And I've been trying to, I've tried to, in the background, so I haven't advertised it, but I've been trying to find a barrister to represent us. So I believe these mandates, not only are they unconstitutional and illegal, I believe, but let's pretend that this was all real, okay? That everything they told us about COVID was legit. What I can't understand is a simple fact that, you know, I've researched everywhere. The consensus is vaccine herd immunity is reached at about 70 to 80%. Would you agree on that?
That's a heuristic. That's a rule of thumb that just is given to
it's
medical students.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, that's given to medical students, and it doesn't really apply in any specific case unless you have a case that's made in favour of it. We just taught this number, 70%, 75%.
70 to 80 sort of, yeah.
But
this is my point.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is, even so, as I said, let's pretend that COVID was all exactly as they said. The simple fact that we're at 95% makes the mandate null and void on their own scientific advice. And that's what I don't understand, why no one's challenged
that. You recall that they said that from the beginning. Oh, well, our target will be something like 70, 75%. And then when...
Exactly.
Isn't
the mandate null and void?
Yeah. But, you know, many of those players were saying from the beginning, oh, well, we're just going to first vaccinate, or our target group will be vulnerable individuals and the elderly, you know.
Of course.
And then
we went,
They were marching down the age brackets, and now and it wasn't long before Fauci was saying that he was going to go for the six-month-olds, and we were marching up the percentage brackets from the 75% or 80% to just basically try and get a needle in every arm.
In every arm, yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's just, you know, talking about psychological operations, that's just sort of classic. You get your foot in the door. Yeah. You try and get a bit of a deal or an initial bargain low, but then you're going to go for as maximum profit as you can, as maximum penetrance into the marketplace as you can.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's all an exercise in bad faith. Yeah.
Exactly. But what I don't understand is how come, surely in front of any judge or court in Australia, the judge would agree that going on the scientific advice that they've used throughout history, we're way over the 80%, the mandate in itself, by their own science, is null and void unless they agree that the vaccine hasn't worked. Do you agree with that?
Well, I guess the judges might say that they are just answering a case in law, and what is the position in law. But then there's a whole subtext and undercurrent below that, which is basically, will the judiciary rock the boat?
Yeah.
Because I know that many of lawyers have told us the same. There are some great lawyers and great barristers out there who are ideologically on our side, but that put aside, you know, there's lawyers that will say, yeah, but most firms have some sort of contract with some government department. If they buck the system, they'll lose the contract, or they themselves are subject to social pressure. They'll be accused of being anti-vaxxers or blah, 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 blah.
Exactly, know? Yeah.
So, and the judiciary aren't immune to that either. They know that they're nested within a milieu that will, where it's just easier not to rock the boat.
Exactly, because I've been trying to get a barrister for a long, long time. The last 2 years, I've tried multiple times. Mm-hmm. No one wants to touch it. No one wants to touch it, and that's the position that we're in, you see. They do. That's what I've been told. You're spot on. That they have – someone told me a story. I don't know if it's correct, but, yeah, they've put – the Victorian government put a lot of lawyers and barristers on retainers
mm-hmm.
to stop them from getting involved in it.
Yep.
Now, whether that's true or not could be hearsay. But I've tried truckloads, mate. Mm-hmm. I had people that were ready to go. I'm not going to name them on air, but they said, yeah, we're in. And then when I gave them my challenge and what we wanted to do, they were happy to take on the government for the right to protest, but they didn't want to challenge the mandate.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Which I found was, you know, a bit strange, but what did we do? So our only other option now is to get enough people to cause some serious resistance.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, you know, some of them might be not just cowards or acting in bad faith or, you know, part of the system or whatever, but some of them just might be genuinely of the belief that there's a super-duper deadly virus because they're just not like the vast bulk of the Australian population.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
They're not exposed to any information that's contra the narrative. You know, they've been propagandized so badly over the last couple of years that this is a super-duper deadly virus. The only way out is the divine vaccine, and that's it. Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like I've shown people figures to show some of the carnage caused by this. They just don't want to buy into it. They just they still think it's better than dying from the from COVID, which as we know, they counted everyone. You know, someone got shot in the face, and he tested positive on the tests, which we know are unreliable. Then he was COVID, but it's like you can show people whatever you want, and they just don't. All the proof in the world, they just don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they're really in that belief that COVID killed everyone, you know, even though, yeah, it's crazy.
Mm.
Yeah. But it is, that's where we are now, mate.
Yeah, and it's a perfect storm of a manifold of individual little psychological operations, including the ones that we play on ourselves, where we might think, hell, you know, our government's wrecked the economy and we've put all this into it. It can't be all for nothing. And
exactly.
And a step beyond the is it all for nothing is the, oh, my government really doesn't care about me. In fact, they're real a-holes.
It is. So, and that's what a lot of people, struggle with.
Yeah.
They're scared to admit that the government could have done this deliberately. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, looking from where I stand, I've got no doubt, not only was it about vaccinating everyone, it was also about causing some serious, some disruption to people's businesses. I have no doubt because, as we know, the more people that are relying on a government, you know, on social, on welfare and stuff, it makes the government more powerful.
Mm.
It does. Mm. So I believe there was an agenda, you know, not just for vaccination, but also to curtail people's ability to have a successful business and not be relying on the government. So I mean, look, you know, that's that whole Agenda 2030 sort of thing. And then now we're going to end up with the climate part that's coming out now. That's getting pushed heavily in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, we're in some crazy times. But interesting times as well.
Mm. Yes, because I mean, I imagine that the coming down the pike might be a virus where they can say, well, the virus only crossed the species barrier and became a problem because of human encroachment, human development. Because of climate change, you know, that brought the virus in its, you know, its animal vector into our ecology and da-da-da-da-da. And so they'll use that as a means by which to say, well, it's climate you've got to manage and turn your safety, not just in terms of the climate change per se, but in terms of the danger of from the microbiosphere. So
exactly. Yeah. And that's the line that they're using, that exact line now. We've already seen it. You know, Bill Gates last couple of weeks is saying climate change has caused this, exactly what you just said. So, I mean, look, again, in the way this sounds all scary, it's easily beaten, this whole system. And we've got to keep stressing that to people so that people don't get too worked up and stressed that they can't live anymore. It's easily beaten by getting enough people to stop complying, and it's game over. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah. Because to put our international listeners in the picture, I mean, Melbourne overtook Buenos Aires as the most locked down city in the world, in the most locked down country in the world. We've only just opened up so that we can travel out the unvaxxed internationally. And that is, surprise, surprise, with an election looming where they want to be the good guys. And they're following on from multiple other countries around the world, letting their citizens loose. But how long will it last? Because, you know, you're talking about the World Health Organization's universal pandemic plan, that they're just writing it up as we speak. It's like the blueprint to an international health prison.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So they're basically saying that they'll come up with a plan that will override all the participating countries' pandemic plans. And look, I mean, not to beat it up too much and make it sound too scary, they already did that anyway. You know what I mean? So to be honest with you, with the COVID response, they already all sort of conformed, other than a couple of countries, to that whole WHO directive anyway. But this will be a bit different. And, you know, I just put up a post last night from, you know, Christine Anderson from the European Union, the Parliament.
Yeah. You're
familiar with her?
Yeah, and and she's quite palsy with Albert Bulla, the Pfizer CEO. Yeah.
Oh no! Christine Anderson's actually against these guys. You're thinking of?
I'm thinking of Christina. What's her name?
I forgot her name. No, not her. She's the one Christine Anderson's fighting against.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, she's brilliant. So she put up a post the other night in regards to what's happening, but to warn people. But yeah, I mean, they insane that they want to put this through. Someone made a comment in one of my posts and said none of it's legal anyway, which, well, look, we know that, but the problem is, if enough people comply, it doesn't even matter if it's legal anymore, because you know, people are like sheep and they'll just follow along. So that's, again, it comes back to that, educating enough people to say these guys haven't got authority. They're unelected. You know, I don't fall under WHO's jurisdiction. And that's what we've got to keep drumming through, so people, you know, lose that fear, stop complying. And it's a very difficult uphill battle. But that's why I try to educate people not to spread, you know, propaganda like these clips that we're seeing from China at the moment. Because, what it does, it scares people. And then if someone's scared, they end up usually end up complying or doing something crazy because of fear. So, you know, that's the point. Keep people calm, educated, and obviously stop complying.
So you're referring to Christine Marguerite Anderson, the German politician, are you?
She's brilliant.
The governor for Germany, yes, yeah.
So she's been outspoken the whole time, and her and a guy called Croatian one, I think it's Mirslav.
He's
been very outspoken.
Yeah, is his name Kolakuzic?
That's it.
Yeah, something like that.
So him and Christine Anderson have been one of the most outspoken. I think there was five in total, but those two there have been dropping a few bombs, you know, similar in the lines to, you know, Malcolm, Malcolm Roberts has been dropping
Malcolm
some
Roberts
big bombs.
And Jared Rennick and the like, yeah.
Yeah, so that they're the ones that have been really trying to expose. So they're the people, I mean, they give you hope, you know, people like me. So I like to see that because most politicians I can't trust, I want to be honest with you. So,
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how people can't see
amongst a fair minority of the population, the medical profession has also suffered a loss of trust. And, well, I guess, you know, they had it coming too. So on that note, we're going to go to a short ad break. This is TNT Radio.
Election 2022, and Australia decides on Saturday, May 21st. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The Morrison government's election propaganda claims Australia's world-leading health response to COVID-19 resulted in one of the lowest fatality rates, with death rates in the United States and the United Kingdom around 10 times higher. Singing its own praises, the Australian government claims it helped save tens of thousands of lives through measures such as border controls and facilitating a 95% vaccination rate. Nonsense. Most of Africa, in fact 39 countries in Africa, have had a lower official COVID death rate than Australia, and the vast majority of Africans have not had the jabs. Sweden didn't lock down and suffered a lower COVID death rate than most of Europe. The Morrison government is merely cherry-picking epidemiological data for electoral advantage. Federal Labor is no better and plans to establish an Australian Centre for Disease Control. God help us. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
A bushfire tip from the New South Wales Rural Fire Service.
It's a fact that cars are a significant cause of bushfire. Parking in long dry grass means hot exhaust and hot brakes may start a fire. When travelling in bushland areas, remember to park in designated car parks or away from dry vegetation. And whatever you do, don't throw cigarette butts out the car window. Prevention of bushfires is your responsibility. Get FireWise. For more information, contact your local fire station.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Who is Klaus Schwab and what is the World Economic Forum which he leads? Just quoting Klaus Schwab is alarming enough. If he and his billionaire friends achieve their Great Reset, tyranny would be the new world order. Born in Ravensburg, Germany in 1938, Klaus Schwab is a child of Adolf Hitler's Third Reich, a political state regime built on fear and violence, on brainwashing and control, on propaganda and lies. While the Nazis desired a new order for Germany that would last 1,000 years, Klaus Schwab's vision extends globally and would potentially be unstoppable were nations to relinquish all sovereignty and adopt the neurotechnologies and biotechnologies which forces us, in the words of Klaus Schwab, to question what it means to be human.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNTRadio.live.
This is Robert Brennan and my very special guest, anti-COVID cult activist based in Melbourne, Ed Cooper. So, Ed, what's your feel for how the election will go down Victoria Way?
Look, I'm not sure. Look, I don't really know. I mean, I don't know. I think, unfortunately, I believe Albanese is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no doubt. But I mean, oh, well, no doubt. That's my belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try not to put too much emphasis on the election, and I'll explain why. Of course, it'll be great for people, and I'll put out a post about this, trying to vote for the minor parties. But in the end, doesn't matter who. And I've spoken with Rick about this on so many times. But it doesn't matter who's in there, because these guys, this is a script. There'll always be that group up above. You know, we're talking about you know, probably a little bit conspiracy here, but you know, WEF, UN, you know, they're all run by the Rothschilds, Rockefellers. That's 100% fact. So no matter what government's in, there's always going to be enough Liberal and Labor left and right sort of birds to control it all. And doesn't matter how many people you get in there, you're still going to be cooked. So the key, as I keep telling people, it's going to be won by people power, this whole war, you know. So it's going to be won on the streets. It's going to be won from, you know, people finally saying enough's enough,
mm-hmm.
that you cause enough disruption to their system, which I believe, you know, is the next stage. So as I said, these rallies have been brilliant. But we really need to take it up a notch. And what I mean by that is, you know, for instance, on Saturday, okay, Saturday, just imagine we get 50,000 in Melbourne. You get 50,000 in Melbourne and we go down to the footy and we stop the crowd going inside the MCG.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, you know, blocking the freeways, you know, stuff they do overseas. You look in Sri Lanka, they bombard the streets, they block government infrastructure, and France does it. France is one of the best at it. You know, that's why I believe the rallies need to go to the next stage.
Yes, well, the yellow shirts were going before COVID with the fuel situation over there.
Exactly. You saw they were dumping truckloads, truckloads of rubbish outside the refineries. Mm. And I don't know if you know this, but it actually made a difference and they reduced the price of fuel a little bit. So they're the things that we've got to do. As I said, once again, I stress, always peaceful. I'm not some far right. I'm not right or left. I'm just a bloke looking for truth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the next stage. If we can, you know, get all the organisers on board, start causing disruption. You know, for instance, like, you know, the Melbourne Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So I was speaking to someone, one of my followers, and he told me there's one road that if you block it on the Melbourne Cup, the horses can't get to the race.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what? If those horses can't race, you just cost that the Victorian government a lot of money. And they're the things that we need to start doing. As I said, again, always peaceful. But, and you know, you might get a fine. Who cares, mate? Because we're at that stage now where we've really got to do whatever we can to disrupt.
The irony is you're discussing stopping the race that stops a nation.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the things you need people to take notice. And, you know, I'm not for those climate activists, but you know how they put themselves in the middle of the road, glue their hands. That's, you know, as much as I don't agree with that climate, those acts are quite, they gain attention, you know, and that's what we need.
And to be fair, you know, if we're defending the rights of ourselves to protest, we have to defend the right of everyone to protest peacefully.
Exactly. So, you know, yeah, I don't agree with it.
Good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, all out for it. And, you know, the fact is they cause a lot of disruption and maybe that's the next step for the freedom movement. You know, cause some serious disruption because otherwise, and again, and I'm not having a go at the rallies. I love the rallies, but otherwise, we know we're just walking around in the street waving a couple of flags, and I've never seen any war get won by it.
Do you notice that, you know, that there have been great protest marches in India, for example, where people have joined along the way, and there's the, you know, not to get blasphemous, but there's the stories in the Bible of people would join the apostles of the Christ along the way of his travels. And and yet what I saw going around the Brisbane rallies time and again is there'd be masked and sometimes unmasked observers and they'd just be sort of staring out above their mask with their phones, filming this oddity procession that went by. But, you know, you didn't see any of them come and join. It was like they'd already been zombified, they've made their choice, that was that.
Yeah, and I'm seeing that a lot, you know, as I said, so we're getting more people on our side because they've had incidences, you know, where family members have died or been hit by the vaccine sort of, you know, side effects and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely gaining, but this group of hardcore vaxxers, some of them are almost like they're blank. Have you noticed this? I'd actually like to get your opinion. That's like they've lost their soul. I know it sounds crazy. I know it does.
Yeah. I think it's just there's demoralization. There's just what I'm calling zombification in the metaphorical sense, not the literal sense.
Yeah. I've just noticed there's some people they just don't want to know. Yeah, it could be a multitude of things. It could be demoralized and maybe even coming to terms that now they're seeing that they were wrong and they just can't get off that train. It's very difficult for them, you know?
Yes, it's difficult to put a percentage on it, but there are those people who, if you said tomorrow, well, we're putting back up in Queensland, the QR code thing as the pass of entrance to, say, supermarkets.
I'd love it.
They'd just take their phone out. And they wouldn't question you, but why today and why not yesterday? And it's the same with the mask mandates we've had. They'll announce that it's going to end at X time and X day. as if to imply that, well, the virus is getting on the bus at, say, 10 p.m. on a certain date. And,
yeah,
and there's
crazy,
no questioning it. They'll take the mask off the day after, but they'll put it straight back on when it's required. It's just this going with the motions of the orders that are given them without any critical reflection, even as to, you know, well, why should I, and maybe I'll stop.
No, they don't question it. Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah. In actual fact, some of the people that, so like in Victoria, we've got no mask mandate at the moment, but there's still people wearing masks. But I almost have more respect for those people because they didn't care about the government orders. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're just scared and they want to wear the mask. And I've got nothing against people that want to wear masks or take a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I care about is that we can't force people. And that's how this all started, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to ask you a question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Pick your brain.
What's left
in my mind, in regards to cases? Did you clearly see an explosion of cases after vaccination, or am I crazy?
Yes. Well, Omicron came along. There was an overlap between Delta being the predominant strain. Wuhan was long gone, and then Omicron came along, where it had such a greater infectivity coefficient that everybody was getting Omicron. So, yes, there was an explosion of cases. Is that incidental to the vaccine? I wouldn't suggest that the vaccine promoted extra cases, although an engineer friend of mine that's cracked a lot of the UK data has come to the conclusion that you're more likely to spread the virus if you're vaccinated than not. So there is some currency to that story. Yeah, there is some currency to that story. But I think rather, you know, at least we could reach a point where surely we could convince anybody who has at all an open mind that the vaccine does not prevent transmission.
Wow.
One iota.
No, yeah. And that's, you know, yeah. I was going back through some posts during the week because, you know, people said, oh, but they never said it was going to stop transmission. Well, that's actually not true. I've got videos.
Oh, there was Rochelle Walensky of the CDC. There was
Gates. Remember that? Yeah, I got them all. I kept them all.
Yeah.
They just kept moving the goalposts the whole time. They were
all saying it, yep.
Yeah, and then, you'll still get it, but you won't get sick. And then you still, you will get sick, but you won't end up in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll end up in hospital, but you won't die. But now people are dying as well.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I mean that in itself is enough in my eyes to again make the mandates null and void. But anyway, we're still here, and Victoria still has mandates on general workers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean that's why I'm encouraging people to get out there this Saturday on the 14th.
That's right.
Hopefully, we get a big crowd Australia wide.
Mm-hmm.
And push through and whatever. It doesn't really matter because I don't want people to get disillusioned if the minor parties don't really take a big chunk, because you know what, it's up to us. There will be no political saviors anywhere. That's my view. They're going to help out and assist, but it's going to be won by the people for the people.
Are you familiar with the parable of the riding the tiger?
No, I'm not.
Well, if you got a mean, angry tiger, it's baring its teeth. No, you can either run from it and it'll run you down, you're dead.
Yep.
You can face it and get your throat ripped out, or you can get on its back, go the distance, which might be a generational thing where we do our best as we can. We develop parallel systems of this, that, and the other, and we ride it, survive, until we get our moment where it's tired, and then we take it down.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, as I said, as scary as this all seems, it's an exciting time. It's liberating, and if we can really expose some of the horrors that have gone on, we're a good chance of getting through this on the other side better than we were before. Because you know what, there were so many lies, and it's good that it's all coming out. To be honest, I mean, it was going to be tough times. And it ain't going to be easy, but just from people, the amount of people that are waking up and starting to see all this, it's really encouraging. So I tell people, just stay focused. Don't get distracted by, you know, Elon Musk buying Twitter or, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, the case, which is ridiculous, or, you know, the Ukraine war, we're showing all these, I don't know if you've seen the clip where Bono went in there, just focus on the things that matter to yourself and waking up as many people as you can. And that starts, you know, with these rallies as well. So hopefully we get a big crowd on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Because of has the Victorian economy bounced back, or how is it going?
It's going okay. The big issue that I've seen, because of these mandates, people are struggling to get workers. They say we're at 95%. I don't believe it. I don't know the figures, obviously. There's no chance in the world that we're at 95%. I don't believe. I would say maybe 80. So there's a lot of people that still aren't working. And what's happening is, so I work in the cafe industry. I'm a distributor. Helping a mate out of mine, and we are seeing a lot of cafes have got no staff. All the production facilities have no staff because of a multitude of things. We're talking about the mandates, so they've lost staff. On top of that, all their staff that are vaccinated are all catching COVID. I mean, so yeah, I don't think it's worked at all. This whole vaccine economy has been a big mistake, but I believe it wasn't a mistake. It was all by design, you know? So it's part of the destroying small business and building reliance on the government. That's where I stand on that issue. But no, it hasn't been a success, that's for sure. But now we can go to the unvaccinated can go and eat at a cafe. All that stuff's gone, but you still can't work. I can eat at a cafe, but I can't work in that cafe. So tell me the logic in that one, mate.
It's lacking, yes. And of course, you know, when talking about the number of the percentage vaccinated in Melbourne, it might be a little bit, how shall I say, an inflated statistic as what it would be otherwise, because your state suffered a lot of exodus. A lot of people just left.
Truckloads.
Yeah.
All to Queensland.
Yeah.
Yeah, all to Queensland, which is, I mean, you must be experiencing it. I heard the property is out of control in Queensland.
It was a boon for our property market. Yes, there were up here in Queensland, particularly in the southeast. You know, the regions are different. There'd be places where first open home, 30 minutes, that place has had an offer and it's gone, and it's gone for prices that are like 30% higher than, you know, pre-pandemic or early pandemic.
Yeah, I've been hearing that. So Queensland. I was down in Geelong in Melbourne last weekend, and I spoke to some of the cafes there, and the owner was telling me that he was just in a little suburb just outside of the main city of Geelong. It's gone up by about two, so the median price was about $450-$500. It's now $800 in the last 12 months.
Yeah. And this is without the Chinese market that we had the last couple of years. Even despite the lack of the Chinese market, it's amazing.
Yeah, just solely on people trying to escape the tyranny.
Yes. And fall under the tyranny of being mortgage slaves for the rest of their life, which makes them more vulnerable to government shenanigans to control and manipulate them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
So we have our last rally set around the country before the election this Saturday. Come rain, hail, or shine, hopefully shine. And we've got to hit it. In Brisbane here, we'll have it'll be a bit diluted because we're separating them. There's one in Brisbane and one on the Gold Coast. So the total numbers will probably be larger, we hope, but less in any particular venue. But that's all right. And hopefully all of the Freedom Party candidates get out and about. And this is TNT Radio, my very special guest, Ed Cooper. Let's have him on again. He's fantastic. All right.